God loves you. And God wants to show and demonstrate the world His love and His grace and His mercy through you. Because people really know you in the world and they know what kind of a person you were. But now that Jesus Christ has saved you and cleansed you and washed you, man, what a testimony that is of the grace of God.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Raul Reese in Diamond Bar, California. Many years ago, Raul's rebellion nearly destroyed his life. He felt he'd blown it with the Lord and didn't know if he could ever be forgiven. But in His mercy, God offered Raul redemption and a fresh start. For a free DVD of Raul's testimony, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165. We're glad you've joined us today for an encouraging message from our series centered on God's grace. Zeroing in on the sinful fall of King David, Raul will assure you that no matter what's in your past, the Lord won't hold a grudge against you. When you come to God in genuine repentance, He is always ready to forgive. As you stay with us here on Somebody Loves You Radio, you'll also discover how God can use your life as an example of His mercy when others see you walking in His redemption. And later on, we'll offer you a CD pack with more on God's great grace, and we'll share how to connect with us. Here's Raul Reese now with part two of the lesson, God's Grace Offered. Join us in Matthew chapter 1.
But it's amazing how David, the king of Israel, being on top of this roof, looking out, not planning to really lust or to be tempted, just in a nonchalant way and in kind of innocent way, he goes out and he begins to look at the beautiful city of Jerusalem. But Satan was smarter than David. And that's always the case. He began to play with him because the devil thought, hey man, I've been looking for an opportunity against David, and now I found his weakness. And that's the way the devil works. David is standing there looking out. This beautiful woman is below him. And notice again verse 3. And so David sent an inquirer about the woman. And someone said, is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? Notice. And then David sent messengers and took her. Notice that David didn't waste any time. When he inquired and found out who she was, he literally had her being brought to the palace to be with David. Look what it says. And then David sent messengers and took her, and she came to him, and he lay with her, for she was cleansed from her impurity, and she returned to her house. She had just finished her period, and she had been cleansed. And he brought her in and he lay with her. And then when he was through with her, he sent her home thinking, you know what? Hey, the relationship's over with. Or maybe I can call upon her whenever I want to and I can have a relationship with her and nobody will ever know what's taking place. And that's usually how people think. Nobody will ever find out what I am doing. But David, even though the grace of God is given to each one of us individually, yet because of David's sin, David reaped the consequences of his sin through his children. It's a sad story. Verse 5. And then the woman conceived, so she went and told David and said, I am with a child. Can you imagine all of a sudden, a few weeks later, Bathsheba came and said, David, can I talk to you for a second? He said, sure, what's up? He says, guess what? I'm pregnant. Uh-oh. How are you going to keep it quiet in the kingdom? Let's read the rest of the verse. And David sent to Joab and said, send me Uriah the Hittite, and Joab Uriah to David. So as David sent her home, we don't have it here, but I guarantee you that Satan immediately came to David. Because what happens when you and I sin immediately? We start thinking on how are we going to excuse ourselves, or how are we going to make the plan so that nobody can find out in what I have done. So we begin to scheme, right? And in that culture, according to the law, the Levitical law, remember, the law of God was what? That if anybody would commit fornication or incest, or anybody was a homosexual or a lesbian or a murderer, or if anybody committed adultery, immediately they would have to be stoned to death. How do you kill the king? I mean, David holds the authority over the kingdom. And yet, in the law of God, we see the grace of God demonstrated. Because as David begins to think on these things, guess what happens? Immediately, Satan begins to work in the mind of David. As David is scheming and thinking, all of a sudden, Satan probably came to him and he said, David, you want to solve your problems? I got a good plan for you. God is not speaking to David, so now Satan speaks to David. And what does he do? Instead of David getting on his knees and repenting and asking God to forgive him and asking God, God, what shall I do? David never calls upon God. Never. And so Satan comes along and says, I'll tell you what you do. You write a letter to your cousin Joab. And in that letter, you write a little letter and say, hey, why don't you let him come home to his wife and have some R&R? And then he can be with her for a couple of days. Then David, when Uriah comes home, he goes home to his wife. She lays with him in bed. Then you can say, hey, Uriah, congratulations. You're going to have a baby. Think how smart Satan is. And guess what? David likes that plan. David follows it up. And he calls for Uriah. Uriah comes home. And when Uriah comes home, David is excited. And David is waiting for his homecoming. And David's there in the palace. And he's already talked to all of the people in the palace. Hey, you guys, we're going to have a major party tonight because Uriah's coming. And before he goes home, I want to celebrate. And I want to give him a party before he goes to be with his wife. Because he's been in the battle. The whole time David is lying and scheming and conniving. I can relate to David in so many instances in my life. And then you come to the place where Uriah comes. And Uriah comes home and he's there. And David says, man, it's so good to see you, Uriah. Doing a good job out there. And because you're such a good person and you're such a good commander and mighty man, I call for Joab to bring you home to give you some R&R with your wife. But before you go home, let's eat, let's drink, let's party. And so they have this huge party that night. And David's eating and conversing. And they're partying and drinking. David says, you know what? It's getting late now. You better go home to your wife. And they excuse themselves. And they're saying goodbye to everybody. Shaking hands, hugging each other. And on the way out of the palace, all of a sudden, Uriah goes outside. And he looks out. And he sees that all of his men are outside. And they're all sleeping outside. They don't get to go home to their wives. And because Uriah is an honorable man and a mighty warrior, he says, man, why should I go home to my wife when my men are outside and they don't get to go home? I will sleep with my men. Imagine that. And David that night went to sleep thinking, man, hey, my hands are washed. My sin is gone. Nobody will ever know. Yeah, made it. The next morning he gets up, eats breakfast, gets dressed. Probably goes out to get a fresh air in his palace. And all of a sudden, there's a knock on the door. And the runner comes and says, excuse me, David, could I talk to you, O king? He says, go ahead and speak. He says, well, I want to share something with you. Uriah last night had pity for his men, and he didn't get to go home. So what he decided to do is to sleep with his men outside. And he never really went home. Oh, man, David went crazy. David said, what? Man, I thought everything was taken care of. All of a sudden, as David is pacing back and forth, and again, the mind of David is moving very rapidly. All of a sudden, Satan once again comes along and says, David, don't worry. I got a second plan. Do this. Throw him another party. Give him to eat. Give him to drink. But this time, give him a little more drink so that he's a little tipsy. And then send him home, and I guarantee it, he will be home. So he called out and said, Uriah, hey, got a second party for you. Tonight, come, we'll eat, we'll drink. So Uriah comes and they sit there and they begin to chat a little bit and they start eating and drinking and Uriah starts getting a little bit tipsy. And David says, now Uriah, it's getting late. You must get home pretty fast. And so David says, now look, Uriah, I'm going to walk you part of the way. There's your house over there. Now just go ahead and go. David goes to bed, and then the next morning David wakes up, and now he's really thrilled because he knows, now I know for sure that he went home and he's with his wife. I got away with my sin once and for all. Hallelujah. You know what happened? The door knocked again. And David said, yes, what's the matter? He says, well, you know, last night Uriah got a little bit tipsy, and on his way home he passed on and never made home. Man, David went crazy. I can't believe this. How could it be that, I mean, I led him almost to the door. How could it be that he passed out? But what David is forgetting and what we forget is what? God is in control. Not you. You can hide your sin. You can plan. You can do whatever you want to do in your life. But let me tell you something. God is still in control of all situations. God sees everything and hears everything that we do. David again was pacing back and forth, upset, this time more than ever before. He said, man, what am I going to do? Man, the whole town's going to find out. All of a sudden, as he's standing there, and he's thinking, the devil comes along again. And in a small, still voice, Satan begins to speak to him. He says, you know, if you really want to solve your problem, let me give you a third plan. And this plan will really work. Uriah is one of your mighty men, and he is a fighter. Why don't you write a letter to Joab, your general, your cousin, and say this: Dear Joab, I want you to take Uriah and put him in the hottest of the battle, and then withdraw from the battle and leave him alone to be killed. Now David is thinking, what? Murder. He started with adultery. He started lying. Adultery. And now Satan says the best way to get rid of your problem, murder Uriah. Kill him. Put him in the hottest of the battle. Who's going to know? You know what amazes me about the story? I love the story of God's grace. Because as Uriah was not only getting ready to leave back with his men, this letter that David wrote and put the seal of the king on this letter, you know who carried it? Uriah. Carried his own death warrant and didn't even know it. He could have opened it and read it and said, wow, it's a plot. Man, the king's going to have me killed. But because Uriah was such an honorable man, honorable men before God, and probably trusted God and trusted David, his king, he took the letter with the seal and he carried it all the way to the battle. He gave it to Joab. Joab opened it up, read it, closed it down, and told the troops, I want you guys to attack that city, take Uriah with you, and when you guys get to the gates of the city, withdraw yourself and leave Uriah there. And Uriah was killed instantly. Joab wrote a letter and said, King David, mission accomplished. Uriah is dead. David said, wow, nobody knows my sin. I finally got away with it. You know what he did? Immediately didn't waste any time. Didn't go to God. The first thing he did is he had Bathsheba brought to the palace to live with David, and he took her to be his wife so that he could cover his sin. Now he can say, hey, my wife is pregnant, and I'm going to have a child, and it's my child. Nobody would ever know that this child was preconceived in adultery or fornication. Nobody will ever know that. But remember, God sees all things. God is in control in the life of David. So what happens? Bathsheba begins to extend a little bit, begins to grow. She's pregnant 6 months, 7 months, 8 months, 9 months. And on the 9th month, when she's getting ready to have her child, all of a sudden, David goes before her. She's in labor. And now the child is coming forth. And as the child is being brought forth, the child comes forth. And the child becomes very ill. And they come to David and said, "Hey, your child is ill. And your child may even die." And David sits back. And then when he finds out a few hours later, the child dies. God takes the child home to be with him. And when the men saw David, they came to him and they said, "David, don't you want to mourn? Don't you want to cry for your child?" He says, "How can I bring back the child that God has taken to himself?" David believed in eternal life. He recognized that his child had gone to be with the Lord in heaven. "I cannot bring him back here," he said. "God has taken him." And immediately it says that David washed his face. And he put on another countenance. And a few days later, he went ahead and took Bathsheba, his wife. And then he went to bed with his wife. And she became pregnant again. But that's later on when Solomon is born. That's where the grace of God is shown too. But before even Solomon is born, all of a sudden, David, now a year and a half has passed. And David's sin has not been brought up at all. David is thinking, "Man, you know what? I'm cruising. Man, nobody knows. I can continue in ministry. I can continue to be the king of Israel. Bathsheba is my wife. Nobody will ever know what really happened." And then God, on the other side of town, had a prophet. And this prophet was called by God to come and to speak before the king. And so as David is in his palace and David is kind of kicking back there again, this prophet by the name of Nathan comes along and he says, "Hey, I want to see the king. I want an audience with the king." And so the men come to David and said, "David, Nathan, the prophet is here to see you. Can you see him?" He says, "Yeah, go ahead, bring him up." And so as David's sitting in his throne, Nathan comes along and says, "How are you doing, David?" David says, "Oh, very good. How are you doing, Nathan?" He says, "Fine, but I have a little thing that I want to talk to you about, David." He says, "Go ahead and speak." He says, "You know, there was a rich man that lived down the street down here. And he was very rich. And he was having parties all the time. But one night he decided to have this huge party. And he didn't really want to barbecue any one of his sheep or his lambs. But he had a neighbor that was very poor and he only had one ewe lamb. And he loved this little lamb like a little dog. He loved him as a pet animal. And this rich man got not only a little bit proud, but he went next door, he knocked on the door and by force took the man's lamb and he killed it and he bled it and he barbecued it and he gave it to his guest." And he says, "David, what would you do to such a man?" And David said, he was upset. He says, "That man deserves to die." And Nathan the prophet said, "You are that man, David. We have to be careful of judgment because judgment will come back to us." The prophet Nathan said, "David, you did your sin in secret, but God saw it. You took another man's wife and you laid with her. She got pregnant. God took your child. And this whole time you hid your sin before God. You're an adulterer. You're a murderer. You're a liar. You've done all these things, David. And yet you haven't repented, David." And when David's heart was pricked, cut deeply, immediately David dropped to his knees. And he says, "Oh God, I have sinned against you. Forgive me." First time in a year and a half that David calls upon God once again. You know what? God hears his prayer instantly. Instantly. The grace of God, the mercy of God, the love of God in our lives and in the life of David. And it says this in 2 Samuel chapter 12, that David had a heart after God's own heart. David's heart was a heart like God's. Even though for a while David went astray and he hardened his heart and he didn't want to confess and didn't want to really do what God said, it cost David not only sorrow, it hurt him. If you want to hear the voice of David, turn with me to Psalm 51. After David repents, listen to what he writes as we hear the voice of grace and the voice of mercy as he's praying to God and writing this great psalm, Psalm 51. Listen to what he says. This is pretty incredible. This is a prayer of repentance. He says, "Have mercy upon me, O God. According to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions." Not my sin, but notice plural, my transgressions. He recognizes that he sins before God daily. Every day we sin before God. "You only have I sinned." Notice, "wash me thoroughly from my iniquity." And then he says, "Cleanse me from my sin." Notice, here's the confession, the acknowledgement. "For I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me." And here's the key. Look at, "against you, you only have I sinned." Underline that the next time you sin. Make sure you know how to pray and confess your sin before God. "And done this evil in your sight," which means what? God saw it. You thought you were hiding from God. God sees it all. God never sleeps nor slumbers. He always sees everything we do. And he hears it. David not only learned his lesson, but David came to the place in his life where not only Tamar and Ruth and Bathsheba, but also those four women in the book of Matthew demonstrate the grace and the love of God. But most important, King David demonstrates the grace of God, that even though David blew it so bad, yet God forgave him and God cleansed him and washed him just like he has in your own life. Because God loves you. And God wants to show and demonstrate the world his love and his grace and his mercy through you. Because people really know you in the world and they know what kind of a person you were. But now that Jesus Christ has saved you and cleansed you and washed you, man, what a testimony that is of the grace of God to the whole world. That Jesus Christ can do a miracle, and he can do it with anybody that he wants to do it with.
We hope you've been strengthened by today's assurance that when you genuinely repent of your sin as David did, you can experience God's restoration and be used by him in eternally meaningful ways. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. If you'd like to review the message you've just heard, we'll send you an unedited copy for a donation of $5 or more. The number to call is 800-634-9165. When you make your request, ask for Raul's teaching titled God's Grace Offered. To further inspire you in a life well lived for the Lord, we'd like to offer you a 3-message audio pack simply titled Grace. This CD series from Raul will help you shape your priorities in response to the Lord's free gifts of mercy and salvation. You'll also see that as you fully entrust your life to God's will, he can work through your testimony to bless others around you. So contact us to order Raul's 3-CD Grace series. Visit us online at somebodylovesyou.com or call 800-634-9165. And we'll send you this motivational audio collection for a gift of $17.95. Our number again is 800-634-9165. Or you can write us at Somebody Loves You Radio, Post Office Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. We also encourage you to connect with us here at Somebody Loves You Radio to take advantage of all of our resources. Join Raul on his YouTube channel every Tuesday at 10 a.m. West Coast time for Straight Talk, a Q&A program that explores how to glorify God as you navigate the unique challenges of these times. You can also download all of the Somebody Loves You radio programs as podcasts and download our app to your iPhone or Android. This app features a convenient scripture reading plan and digital Bible studies, as well as more of Raul's teaching. This ministry is committed to enriching your spiritual journey with the life-giving truth of God's Word. We welcome any ideas on how we can best support you. We also encourage you to contact us if you're weighed down by burdens that need to be lifted up to the Lord. Somebody Loves You Radio is funded solely through partners like you. Your generosity helps keep us on the air, and every gift you give is tax-deductible. Be sure and join us again for more from this series. Together, we'll explore how God's love and mercy can shape and enrich our interactions with others as we're guided by the greatness of God's heart. That's next time on Somebody Loves You Radio.
I am falling in love with you.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.